Welcome to Crane Radio. Celebrate a life well lived.
Welcome to this first season of The Modern Crone, the 21st Century Shaman. I have invited the most powerful, eclectic and woke shamanic folk I know to talk with me about their take on shamanism and tap you straight into the minds and hearts of those who are the real deal 21st century shamans. Real people, real stories and a whole lot of mind-blowing, spirit-stirring juju. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Adrian Kane to this episode. Adrian is a highly regarded international healer and spiritual guide. Her spiritual journey has taken her into some of the world's oldest and most powerful frameworks, including Druidic, Amazonian, and Andean shamanism, Reiki, quantum healing, hypnosis, emotional freedom, and body talk techniques, as well as symbology, numerology, and astrology. She employs Amazonian plant medicine in her practice and regularly holds plant medicine ceremonies and courses in Singapore, Australia, and Ireland using tinctures of the medicines from the Amazon. This, of course, is when she hasn't disappeared off the grid on pilgrimage to some of the world's most sacred sites. Adrian Kane, welcome to the season of The Modern Crone, the 21st Century Shaman.
Thank you, Danny. It's a pleasure to be here.
So excited.
How I wish to have disappeared off somewhere on the planet right now.
Oh, don't we all? It's been a long time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's just jump into what the term shaman means to you. So, I mean, you have a network of shamanic teachers. You're a shamanic practitioner.
Yeah.
If you were to describe to me what the modern shaman or shamanic practice is, how would you describe that?
Well, when people think shamanism, they think of the old traditional ways. They also, which I recently realized courtesy of a client, they think of dark magic, which I hadn't really thought about that before. Even though I know there's light and dark in everything, it wasn't something that I really put too much thought to. But in shamanism, what they're really working with is the spirit of everything. So all sentient beings. So whether it's a tree, whether it's an animal, whether it's a human, that is basically what they're doing. They're tapping into that energy, which is, of course, always around us, but it's always available and not everybody uses it. So shamans use that by tapping into spirit. And then taking it into the modern context is where, for me, having learned the traditional skill set, looking at my everyday life and looking at ways that I could actually apply what I had learned in traditional form into a quick, easy morning effort before I start my day.
Beautiful. And we're going to get into that as
well.
Yeah, because
rituals are so important to humans.
Absolutely. They don't necessarily belong to shamanic framework or religious framework. It's a human expression
of
spirit, isn't it?
Yeah, super beautiful.
I get that too. So I get that, oh, you're a shamanic practitioner. Do you work with spirits? And so there's this, I guess, an acceptance of the word spirit, and we're working with energy fields and informational fields that underpin phenomenon.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think we're working with a bunch of ghosts, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, my own family think I'm nuts.
Mine do too. I think that's the way of the modern shaman. So, I mean, anyone listening to this can hear your gorgeous Irish accent. And Ireland is... it's really renowned, isn't it, for its connection with earth magic,
it
with
is.
The fae, with
it
myth,
is.
With story. Yeah. So how much of your place and family of origin would you say has informed your progress along the shamanic path?
Oh, hugely, especially in the early years when it wasn't so heavily affected by religion. So I'll explain that after. But when I was young, it was no big deal to talk about fairies in the garden and, of course, leprechauns, everybody expects. but we talk more about the fairy element. So working with all of the elementals, for instance, like gardening was a huge part of my life because of my dad. He always encouraged us to grow our own plants and to be able to watch things grow. As part of that, he would encourage us to just have fun with it, just enjoy. But for me, I always loved magic. I had an imagination that was just going nuts. So for me, I was creating fairy gardens. I was thinking of all these little fairies. In my mind's eye, I see them flying around. And that was like the fun aspect of being a kid, just doing a bit of gardening.
Yeah.
So that was how I first became sort of aware of elemental energy in the first place, because it wasn't that my family practiced that, but they also allowed it because it was traditionally embedded in our mythology.
Yeah.
So it was okay. It was okay for me to be a kid and to be saying things. But later on in life, they looked at me as if I was a bit crazy.
But the Irish, generally speaking, it's largely Catholic.
Yes, yes.
And sort of high Catholic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet there is this sort of acceptance of the fair and the land elementals and so on, which makes it a really beautiful blend, doesn't it?
And there's beautiful places all across Ireland where they still work with those energies. And more so nowadays, there was a period where, obviously in the time of the Druids, they were known for working with magic. And there are still places that people go to follow up on the magic of the Druids. In following up in those areas, that shut down during a certain period because of religion. Yeah. Religion said that's wrong, it's dangerous, you don't know what you're bringing in. All the usual stories of like, this is wrong, we're right. As part of that, people stopped their practice or they practiced quietly at home. But of course, as time has gone by, they've brought back the Irish language and they've brought back the practices of the ancients.
Super beautiful.
It's beautiful. So these places are alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I like to travel to sacred sites, because we can reignite those energies again, tap into a force that's still waiting. It's still there.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have forgotten. But now, thank goodness, it's starting to come back.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, I was in Ireland 2 or 3 years ago and we talked about it. Actually, you lent me a lot of your books on sacred sites and so
That's right, yeah, yeah.
And as you know, I'm a sacred site junkie as well. There's a stone circle within
a
mile.
If there's a habit
I'm there.
To have.
Exactly. But they do hold an energy grid. And I mean, some of it obviously is because of the architectural understanding and the energetic understanding of the people that actually built them in the first place.
That's right.
But there's also, I really think, what you're tapping when you stand in those places, the field of energy of like thousands, possibly millions of people before that have also engaged in that site.
Yeah, and I only had a conversation with somebody 2 days ago about the fact that there's no such thing as a bad prayer.
Yeah.
Because prayers are generally used and affirmations for empowerment.
Yep.
They're there to bring in something that we are feeling like we are lacking, or maybe we're in a place where we're feeling a bit sad and down and we need a pick-me-up. And those prayers have been used by millions of people before us.
Yeah.
So there's a beautiful energy that is there as part of it. So whether we're looking at the energy of the Druids or whether we're looking at the energy of somebody's faith within religion, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. We're tapping into that energy. So the imprint on those sacred sites where people have made their offerings and their prayers, even if we might look back and think that was barbaric, it doesn't matter. It was done in good faith. It was coming from a place of appreciation for what they had received and their way of giving back.
So super beautiful. And it's prayer as well, like whether you call it prayer or, you know, the expression of intention, whether that's through ritual, through voice.
Yeah.
It's the call of the spirit, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
It's an opening. And,
and you feel so good and so connected.
Totally, yeah, so beautiful. But look, knowing you though, you're a highly aware psychic woman, like you just are. But You've also undertaken a lot of varied studies, you know, so you've got this sort of innate instinct for spirit, for the elementals, for this, the spirit within all things.
Yeah.
But you've also done some quite structured studies too along the way. So yeah. Could you explain to us how important the studies are combined with this natural instinct, these natural spiritual abilities?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have been born with gifts.
Yep.
A lot of people use those gifts and a lot of people don't. As part of that journey, whether you know you have the gift and you use it or you don't, as part of it, you still have to learn how to use it correctly. And when I say correctly, I mean with integrity, with an understanding of what you're getting yourself into.
Yep.
Because a lot of people dabble with stuff and then that really just sends out mixed messages. It's like, you know, if you wanted to manifest something and you send a if but maybe as part of the manifestation, well, you're not going to get anything.
Right, you get a dissonant yeah. result.
Yeah. Yeah, because you didn't even trust yourself yeah. in that moment to put out what you want.
Yeah.
So it's very similar in as far as working with energy. If you know what you need when you're working specifically, say, with a client, if you're working with a specific client, you're going to tap into an energy that they need. Yeah. And it might be very different to the last 3-4 people that came your way. So you want to know which spirit to tap into for them to assist them. To do that, you have to understand the spirit realm and how the energies work. So learning how to use energy efficiently, learning how to trust yourself with what you're tapping into, knowing that it is coming from source, it's clean, it's clear. There's no, because we do have pranksters and tricksters within the energy field.
We sure do.
So you want to make sure that you're not playing in that yeah. field.
Witch wars.
Yeah, you don't want to be playing in that field. So you have to be very, very clear about it. And a lot of people nowadays, unfortunately, set up, and I say this respectfully, set up groups where they call themselves certain things
yeah.
and they have never learned a skill set.
Yeah.
They've never learned how to work with energy. But if you open a field and you call on energies, whether you're calling yourself witches or healers
shamans.
Or shamans yeah. or whatever, you're bringing that energy into that space.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle or hold that, you can have some serious issues in the room.
Yep.
So it's very important that we learn our skill set. So sometimes going and taking multiple courses, if that's what it takes, in whatever field you want to work in, it's like going to school. You take your baby steps.
Yeah.
Then when they're solid, you move on to the next level and so on.
So this, you know, this sort of self-mastery, I yeah. guess, and particularly in terms of your own energy body, so how energy is expressing through you
yeah.
Is really key before you move towards plant medicine particularly, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when in our
it's preferable.
It's preferable. Yeah. If you want
for
to,
your sanity, it's preferable.
Yeah. So, you know, you both of us practice breath work. Both of us have
yeah.
practiced different forms of yoga, for example, and lots of other kinds of energy practices where it's helped us understand not only our perspective of who and what we are, but also how energy feels, how it moves, how it can be directed, how it informs us, the dialogue with spirit.
Yeah.
So so I'd love to sort of move from that understanding into plant medicine. Okay, so this is a form of shamanic practice that you're very well known for, and also it's really been part of your own personal journey.
It has, yeah.
And but I would say that for people who aren't really in the world of shamanic plant medicine, I'm guessing here, but I think this is right, that the sort of common view of it is more around the pharmacy and the chemical of the plant. But really, plant ceremony, and this is what I'd love for you to give us in your own words, is about connecting with the spirit of the plant, isn't it? The intelligence field of the plant. Can you tell us more about that?
It is. When people are talking about the pharmacy, they're usually talking about DMT. When people are talking about it, they're usually trying to logically understand a process.
Yeah.
So DMT works like this, and this will be my experience, and blah, blah, blah. So people that go that track have absolutely no idea what plant medicine is, because plant medicine has an energy and a force behind it that just blows your socks off. You think you might know it. I have drunk 30, 40 times at this point, and every time I think I know my way and I know how to maneuver, it catches me off guard and takes me some other direction. So it has a spirit energy that is so alive that it rules how the ceremony will go.
You talked a lot about this, about how, and we're going to get on to the importance of intention in a second, but yes, there needs to be intention, but there also needs to be, I remember you saying to me, the spirit of the plant's already calling you. You know, if it's coming in, if you're feeling a draw, the plant is calling you. Yeah. And so I had never been to Peru or Bolivia, where I ended up going, and I've not come from a shamanic lineage. How is it that the plant is calling me?
Well, first of all, you may think you're not from some shamanic lineage.
Yeah.
When the plant calls, so firstly, when it calls, it creeps into your dreams very vividly. It just turns up like somebody's talking about something and you're like, whoa, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
And all related to plant medicine. Books turn up on shelves when you go to Kinaconia or wherever else you go. It has a way of showing itself to you.
It does.
It just does.
It's exactly my experience.
The guides, such as like somebody like myself who's been so many times, turn up around you.
Yep.
But we're just normal people. Like, we're just average people that just turn up. And then you ask a question. And then before you know it, several hours have passed. And it was the plant
informing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I fully, I'm even getting goosebumps, fully believe that it is the plant that does the talking from that point on.
So another part of my experience too was, after all plant ceremonies that I participated in, is that, I mean, we know that the neural networks are rewired quite physically after plant medicine ceremony. But the plant just kept on teaching me. It was like during the ceremony I received some kind of a zip file aligned with my intent, which we're going to get to. But Peru for me was, I think it was about 3 years ago, that zip file continues to unpack and it continues to teach me. And I think I can actually sense the presence of the plant when I go into journey and when I go into some of my deeper ritual and so on.
Yeah, for sure.
It stays with you, doesn't it?
It does. So when we look at taking ceremonial journeys, so we'll park that there is the tourist side of shamanism and ayahuasca. People go there because they want to experience what real shamans are like in the Amazon, and plant medicine so they can tick the box and say, I've done that. But when you go where you've actually prepared and you've set your intentions, which we will talk about, once you've done that, then when you enter ceremony, you're communicating with an array of spirits. And they turn up courtesy of DMT. So they turn up in your vision space, very real as me looking at you right now.
Yep.
And they educate you about what it is you need to know and understand during that time. And it could be about your own personal life. It could be about your job. It could be that, you know, you're talking to somebody who passed on. Whatever it is that you require. It will override your ego that said, I want to work with this.
Yeah.
And it will take you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
But as part of that, there is a commitment. And the commitment is that you allow the medicine work with you and through you. And that commitment is an ongoing life experience. It's something that's not to be feared. It is something that will educate you all through your life. Every time your ego decides to come in and tell you how amazing, how fantastic, and I okay as I am, and I don't need to change, and then whack, you'll get a smack across your psyche, kid. Yep. And you'll find yourself back in the field going, oh, I need to go back to Peru.
I'm constantly getting kicked in the pants.
And it's an amazing journey. So for me personally, when I started working with plant medicine, I've worked with several now, and I've committed to doing dietas, which is where we stick to the strict rules that the shamans follow.
Yep.
And we commit to an energy force that's moving through us now that will really, really shift some really deep-seated belief systems so that you can open up your field more and help others.
Yep.
And it keeps your ego in check. Yeah. Seriously, it keeps your ego in check. I've never known anyone come out of an ayahuasca ceremony with their ego intact.
Yeah.
It's like smacked around.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, there can be this sort of illusory idea. I think courtesy of sort of the new age Instagram pop spirituality movement, really, that it's all love and light and bliss.
Oh, no.
But it's pretty raw and murky, isn't it?
It is raw. It's as raw as it gets.
Yeah.
Because you have to, first of all, before it will allow you work with other people, self-mastery is part of it.
Yeah.
You've got to face your own dark side.
You do. You've got to be super honest, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And if you lie, especially when you're in ceremony, and you go, oh, yeah, I'm good with that. Well, then next 5 minutes you're going to be in the bathroom. And it's like, seriously, are you okay with that?
So interesting. So, I mean, we've talked about purging before, and I guess this is, you know, something that's also really well known about plant medicine and I think something that a lot of people fear. And in my experience, thanks to your mentorship as well, I'm really big on setting intent, and I'm really big on preparation, not just for plant ceremony, but for any big kind of shamanic practice or working that I'm doing.
Yeah.
What I found, though, is with clarity of intent and with good prep, and particularly physical prep, so, you know, I do fasting and I get rid of all of the toxins out of my system, I don't purge.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a bit about what the purpose of purging is? Because it's not such a bad thing, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's actually a very powerful tool for releasing whether it's belief systems, whether it's disease, whatever else it is that you're holding, whether in your physical body or your energetic body.
Yep.
When we purge and when we learn how to purge well, we don't always need to vomit or find ourselves sitting in the bathroom. We can use tapping, so tapping our body, releasing, which is used in many systems, actually, such as EFT or in body talk. That's another one where they use tapping as part of a protocol. But tapping as a way of energetically shifting your physical energy is a much cleaner, cooler way to purge.
Yep.
The purpose of the purge is to make sure that you have fully released.
Yep.
It's gone.
Yep.
And then you're clean and you're ready to fill yourself up with something that is more love.
Yeah.
Because really the purpose of a life's journey is only love.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Nothing else.
Super beautiful. Yeah. And also the setting of intention. You know, like for anything. I mean, for any sort of ritual, any kind of anything in life,
anything.
Really.
Yeah.
But for plant ceremony particularly, how important is it to be nice and clear on your intention?
Well, the most important thing is to set your intention in place.
Yep.
So, for instance, when I would go and I would spend my time in the Amazon in Peru, when I would go there, I would already be aware of what I believed I was going to work with. But then I would communicate with my shaman and share what I believed I was working with. But then I always, always would say to him, because I did trust, I would always say, but if you need to override me, go for it.
Yeah.
So if what I'm saying is just like a ploy to get me in, but actually I need to work with something else, please just go for it.
But it goes like that though, doesn't
it? Oh, yeah. And then when we would go up to receive our plant medicine to drink in the evening, At that point, the shaman would look you in the eyes and ask you how you're doing and are you still okay with what we had discussed. And then he would whistle what's called an ikara into the brew.
Yeah.
And then you would drink.
Okay, so he's implanting some kind of a, not a program,
the song of the
intent. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. And then what happens is it is the medicine that sings the song and the shaman is just the instrument.
It's just the instrument.
Yeah. So the medicine knows what I'm working with now and the medicine comes on board and the song then is whistled in to the medicine.
Crane Leaving speaking.
I need a boyfriend.
Well, we have Señor Sombrero, Asakusa-san, or if you swing that way, Antoinette is available too. Check them out on crane-living.com and enjoy 10% off with Radio 10 when you cart out.
Oh, okay.
Terms and conditions apply. Don't get too excited. These are just names of our collections. We don't work that way. If you'd like to interact with real humans, come down to our flagship store at 46 Kim Yam Road.
Absolutely beautiful.
It is, yeah.
Let's talk about the Ikaros. So,
yeah.
I mean, it goes hand in hand with the medicine.
Oh, there is no medicine without the Ikaros.
It's like it's an activating force and it holds it, doesn't it?
Yeah, because what's actually happening is when you open up the field, when the brew has been made, you're opening up the field now to the spirits.
Yeah.
And you're asking the spirit, that's the ayahuasca and the chacruna spirit, to come on board and to assist whoever's in front of them. And as that happens, straight away, when they connect with you, as in the shaman first, they look at you, they make the connection, then they start whistling. That is actually the medicine. So if your vision was open, you would see the medicine coming out of the mouth into the brew, and then you drink that.
Amazing.
It's awesome.
It is very awesome. And also, you know, there's modern Ikaros and there's traditional Ikaros, but they're beautiful.
They are.
Beautiful sounds, aren't they?
Because they're heart sounds. Yeah. They're not mind. Someone's not learnt the words of a song and just started singing.
Yeah.
They're actually connecting with spirit. It's like, it's truly, truly magical. Yeah.
So you, over the years, I mean, you have really enduring relationships with your shamanic teachers or, you know, space holders.
Yeah.
And yet I know other people that jump around to different shamans, you know, they're sort of looking for a bit. So how important is that relationship of trust and them knowing you as you progress on your spiritual journey?
Yeah. Well, there are different ways. So I don't want to judge people who like to jump around and experience different ways, because that's also a journey and it's an interesting journey to have those experiences. But for me, my personal journey was I had set my intentions. So there was a sense of a goal that needed to be achieved for me to really get to the depth of myself and my perception of my reality and plant medicine. So the shaman that I was working with from 2011 right up until 2 years ago, I think it was, when I went with my intention, I was very, very aware that he took my intention seriously, as did the place that I went to. And the journey was a commitment that my shaman made to me to help me achieve that goal.
Yep.
And I made to him that I would stay on the path. So we actually made a commitment.
Okay.
And your shaman, if you set your intentions, if they are a true shaman, they will actually commit to sealing the deal at the end. It's like they want to see you achieve your goal.
They're walking alongside you all the way.
They will walk you through.
Yeah.
So
it's like a vow, really.
It is. And we see that all the time in life, where we make a commitment to, whether it's going to university or whatever, that you're going to learn your subject, you're going to master it. And once you master it, your teacher goes, well, that's it. You're done. You live it now.
Yeah.
You go be that person.
Yeah.
And that was the commitment that was made between us.
Yeah.
And it was at times a tough journey because, you know, as those of us who have looked at ourselves honestly know, it can be very challenging, very depressing at times. You know, the dark night of the soul is not just a term that's used for the sake of it.
Yeah, it's a real gig.
Yeah. Dark night of the soul. It's like you cannot, you know, escape your shit.
It's an existential crisis, really, isn't it?
It's a full one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you go through that process, and then when you reach, so with my particular shaman that was working with me, when I reached a point, and that point was reached, you were present in space, actually, if I remember rightly.
Yep.
When I reached that point, the second I reached it, which I can't even begin to explain how awesome it was, I turned and looked at him, and he said, "What took you so long?"
Oh, he knew.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because he had guided me, but I had to do the work.
You had to get there.
I had to do the work. Yeah. You don't just get handed. It's like I had to do the work. And that work took me, I think, 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. But, you know, that's true of healing as well, isn't it? You cannot hand it on a platter to your client, can you?
No.
They've got to take responsibility.
You have to do the work.
Yeah.
We can hold the space. We can use tools to help guide.
Yeah.
But we don't fix people.
Yeah.
Because that's not what's done. It's not about fixing people. It's about having people realize that they can ultimately heal themselves.
Yep.
And giving them guidelines and tools and support to help them along the way.
Along their own journey.
And that's where ritual comes in.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super powerful. And it's efficient as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Often when we've talked, you've used the term pure intent.
Yes.
What do you mean by pure intent?
This is where we're connected to the heart and spirit,
right,
not the mind.
Okay.
The mind will tell you a story of your intention because it's based on what you perceive would be good for you or what you perceive would be an idealistic end to your journey.
So it's a concept.
It's a concept. Whereas a pure intention is when you drop into your heart and, you know, people go, well, what the hell does that mean?
Yep.
But that's where you drop into honesty.
Yep.
You allow spirit guide you. You allow the higher forces override you and point you in the direction. So you always, what I tend to say to people is anything that they're using, whether it be prayer, affirmations, or they want to write their own certain storyline that they want to create as part of an intention. As part of that, I ask them to finish it with for their highest good and all around them.
Yeah.
Because the impact of change when it occurs is huge. It can destroy the life you have if you get everything you ask for.
Yep.
And turn you into a different version of yourself, which can be a beautiful upgraded version. But that upgraded version at that point may not fit in with your current life.
Yeah.
So it's very, very disturbing. So asking for, you know, the sun, moon and stars may cause a lot of damage in your life.
Disintegration, your
relational field. Yeah, and it always reminds me of, it was Raiders of the Lost Ark, the one with the crystal skulls, and she was there saying, I want more, more, more. And, of course, she blew herself up, which is typically energetic work.
Yeah.
It's like you want more, more, more. Spirit will give you more, more, more.
Yeah.
But, you know, are you sure you're ready for it?
So there's, I mean, really what pure intent, what's implied in that is humility.
It is. It is. Yeah. And it's humility in knowing that we don't know truthfully what we really should be looking for.
Because how can we possibly, though, really? I mean,
we can't.
Even when, you know, you've got Peru Pal coming up, and you've got the tickets and stuff, although we haven't had that feeling for a little while now. And you're clear on what you really feel, authentically feel your intent is, but you're still only really viewing that through a little slit of reality, aren't
you? Yes, of course you are. You have no idea what you're really getting yourself into.
No.
Many people freak out on their first night in ceremony because it's much more than they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I find that if you, it's like you cut a deal with the spirits.
Yeah.
You go, you know what? I'm really respectful of the fact that you can blow me apart. But what I'm asking is that you gently take me through this process so that I can remember what I learned.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, it's really, really important. And so that I can integrate what you're teaching me.
Yeah. So another really common aspect of global shamanic traditions, even though they're all very different, where they're all beautiful flavors and lineages and so on, is an acknowledgement of another consciousness field, another field of intelligence and energy, which is the ancestral field. And I know this is massive in Irish culture as well. Could you tell us a little bit about how you understand that, and how is that part of your daily ritual?
Well, first of all, we wouldn't be here if we hadn't got ancestors. So, you know, that's just a basic start.
Yep.
So being grateful for your life, courtesy of those who've walked the path before you and who've paved a way that may have been very challenging for you to live the life you're currently living today, we always give gratitude.
Yep.
And gratitude is the key to having that energy support you in a positive way.
Yep.
And to help you move forward. So for me, in my daily rituals, I light a candle every morning. So I have a ritual for many, many candles, but there's one specific that I light for the seven generations on my mom's side and the seven generations on my dad's side. So tapping into that energy, if need be, sending healing to the past.
Yep.
So that the way now is clear, and then sending healing to the future so the path is clear for those who are yet to come. But also in the now, so that my path feels fully supported and I feel like I can create whatever it is that I need during my time here on Earth, which is very brief.
It's a flicker.
It is.
But it's a beautiful flicker.
It's a beautiful flicker.
And I'm glad I'm flickering next to your flicker.
It's a beautiful flicker.
I'm glad we're having a sort of, you know, coordinated flicker. I keep an ancestral candle and a part on an acknowledgement of my ancestors on my altar as well.
I should have added that it's really important to understand that you don't need to know who they were.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. You know, but interestingly, so it's not just like grandma, granddad.
It's much further back.
Oh, it's way further back. Yeah. I'm going to get this statistic wrong, but it's something like in the last 200 years of your lineage, 4,000 people contributed to you.
To who you are.
To who you are.
Yeah.
So, and it's exponentially back. So, you know, and the fact that you're here means that you're coming from an unbroken line.
Yeah.
Because you're alive.
Yeah. And if people want to try and understand it from a scientific perspective, we are very, very aware that genetically we can carry disease from our ancestors.
Yep.
So if we can carry disease, imagine what else we're carrying energetically.
Totally. But, you know, absolutely. Yeah. And we can carry memory.
Oh,
mastery.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
our
one
gifts.
Of my, yeah, our gifts, exactly. Yeah. Our gifts. Yeah. Yeah. So beautiful. All right. So a lot of us can't access travel.
That's right.
A lot of people, I'm sure, who are listening to this are fascinated by it, but just, you know, don't really know, haven't got access to Course or Lineage Shaman or all the beautiful places that we've been talking about. What are a few things that someone can do day to day that will start to gently step their awareness into these things that we're talking about, you know, the shamanic perspective and the shamanic path? What are some simple things people can do?
Okay, so for me, I always say to people, awareness. And awareness means that you can start a daily ritual. You can use one candle for everything. and set your intentions for the day. So you make your connection to your ancestors, then you set your intentions for how the day is going. I have a whole array of things where, like, I'm working with all my guides and my teachers and lighting candles for them. But for very basic start-out points, you can just light one candle and be aware that the flame is the light.
Yep.
And that is the light within you. And as the flame burns brightly, you burn brightly.
Beautiful.
And the wax is your prayers or your troubles or whatever it is in your life, and it melts away. So that the more you burn brightly, the more your stuff melts away.
Gorgeous.
So that's a very simple one. The other is to bring flowers, plants into your home.
Yep.
They bring an energy. Flowers clear spaces, and they're also very pretty.
Yep.
So bringing flowers into your home, and it doesn't have to be a huge amount. You can put like one little flower in each room, even the bathroom.
Yep.
Or bringing plants in. Plants have a psyche and energy, a way of cleaning our air.
Yep.
Make use of it. They'll clean your home. If you put a snake plant, or what we called mother-in-law's tongue. If you put one of those in the bedrooms, they actually clean the air in your bedroom.
Yep.
So aiding your sleep. Connect to essential oils that you feel would help you make peace in your home. Please, please don't burn scented candles unless they are clean.
Yeah.
A lot of the scented candles are toxic.
Yep.
And they will give you headaches and make you sick.
Yep.
So be very, very specific about it.
Yeah. And same goes for incense as well.
Yeah, same for incense.
Yeah, it's a lot of synthetic.
Yeah, a
scents.
Lot.
Yeah.
So using stuff like that helps to create an energy field in your home.
Yep.
Just as simple as that. And then if you want to evolve it into something else, you can then work on having the guardians of the four corners clear your home and keep it safe, protecting your space, keeping the energies clear at all times, whatever words you want to use. There are so many simple ways, and they take moments.
Absolutely. So what you're really talking about is, again, back to one of our very first points in this chat, is bringing into your life ritual, meaningful ritual in terms of just a simple expression of your spirit.
Yeah, and for those who would love to meditate but won't because they think they have to sit still, go for a walk in nature.
Yeah.
Just feel your foot touching the ground. If you dare, go barefoot. Much stronger connection. Walk on the grass. But as you do it, just be aware. Aware of your breath, aware of everything around you. See the birds, hear the birds, watch the butterflies. But just be aware of your surroundings. We have like an amazing life force of energy going on around us. Every single day we step outside our apartment, our house, or wherever else that you live. Every time we set foot outside, we could see a lot more if we start paying attention instead of looking at our phones, worrying about the meeting that's happening ahead. Just be present. Just be present. And this is where the practice of mindfulness, of course, teaches people within corporate very easily how to bring that into their lives. But in our shamanic practices, it is essential.
So I could talk to you all day, basically.
Oh, likewise.
Which we do.
Yeah.
So, Adrienne, I'm going to put all of your links so people who are listening to this who want to continue a conversation with you or find what your offerings are, they'll all go with this podcast.
Yep.
Are you cooking up anything at the moment? What are you cooking up in terms of your offerings?
Well, I have been in a place of my own sort of quiet moments of figuring out what does spirit want of me next.
Yep.
And as part of that, I have on my table back home so many books that are plant books. And when I say plant, I mean gardening plants. So plant books. Plants that we can use in everyday life to help us in many different ways. So I have been researching some plants that we can bring into our homes, and I feel like something may be coming there.
Nice.
I never think too much about it. I have always had things turn up in my field and something evolve from that.
Yep.
Right at a moment when somebody asks me, hey, do you know anything about?
Yep, me too. It goes like that too.
So I always trust that the spirits, my guiding spirits, will take me to where I need to be. And at the moment, these books are where I need to be.
Are really drawing you.
Yeah, so there's some of that coming in. There's been some elemental magic as part of it, but not to get too caught, because we want to keep energy evolving.
Yep.
We want to not just keep it at one level. We want to take it off the planet. We want to make it as light and as bright as it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that playfulness is really important as well.
Oh, my God, for having our sanity right now.
But also having that light, open heart.
You have to. You have to. So if people are struggling, I would say watch comedies. Watch things that make you laugh.
Yep.
Stop watching the things that frighten you. The truth is, none of us know when the world is going to end. And if it was going to end tomorrow, don't you want to have a good day today?
Yeah.
You know? So for me, it's like, look for the things that make you feel good, whatever it may be. If you like eating chocolate, eat chocolate.
Yep.
You know, you want to go out and express yourself and sing loudly, go out and sing on the streets.
Yeah, live.
Yeah, live your life fully. Don't be afraid to enjoy yourself and don't be afraid to laugh at yourself and to have fun.
Yep.
I think fun is something we've been missing for a very, very long time, and it is time to bring it back into our lives.
I agree. I think it's a spiritual attribute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Adrian Kane, you're a dazzling woman. I love you. And I'm so happy to be your friend and so happy you could share some of your wisdom with us on The Modern Crone.
Oh, likewise, Danny.
Thank you for your time.
You're most welcome anytime.
I'll see you at your place soon.
It's totally my pleasure. Yes, I will be brewing my coffee.
Excellent. Thank you, Adrian.
Oh, you're welcome.